Let's check in with BC Conservative MLA Eleanor Sturco from Surrey now. Eleanor is a former police officer in Surrey. Eleanor, thank you for coming on.
Mike, thanks for having me on this morning.
Can you give me your thoughts here on the latest on this case? I mean, we heard some extensive comments from David Eby there yesterday about the situation. We just heard from Tory's dad. Your thoughts?
So, you know, listen, I heard what David Eby has said yesterday. This bail reform came into effect January 4th. Since then, multiple incidents of catch and release resulting into injuries in people across the province. You know, my executive assistant and I went through this morning and just within a couple of minutes, just in the media, found tons. February 3rd, attack on two women, including a Crown prosecutor. The accused was charged awaiting disposition and had been released on warrants 2 days before that attack. Man stabbed in a wheelchair in March in Vancouver. VPD said this was a high-risk person, had been released the same day. June 3rd, Surrey, ERT needed to arrest a guy 3 different occasions in the same week, released twice on bail for assaulting his domestic partner. So David Eby, I feel a lot of rage, to be honest, about the situation where we now have a government that says, oh, they've done everything they can. And now, because a woman was murdered in her home, the place where she should be safe, he's finally paying attention. This came in January 4th. Multiple incidents that we just know of from the media. How many more happened that we didn't find out about where they should have been paying attention? They would have known this was happening and should have gone to Ottawa to say, look, some changes were made, but it's clearly not working.
Okay, I think the key point that you made there is that these reforms, so-called reforms to the bail system, came in and were in place and in effect in January, okay? And we continue to see these events happen over and over again, as you described, including this appalling death of this young woman here. Now, when you listen to David Eby here, he wants to point the finger right at the feds on this. Right. He says, we've been asking for this. We've been asking the federal government to get to clamp down on this and get tough on this. So he keeps stamping his feet that he's upset and angry about this. I mean, where is the responsibility from the provincial government here?
Well, first of all, this is a premier who has been using Justin Trudeau as a shield more and more as the campaign season's gone on, whether it's housing, healthcare, justice, you name it. Here's a guy that was hand in glove with Justin Trudeau and now is turning the tables and trying to blame everything on him as the election gets closer. But look, the administration of justice is a provincial responsibility. And yes, the laws and reforms to our criminal code get made in Ottawa, but ensuring that there is enough courtrooms open, ensuring that there is enough BC prosecutors to make sure that they are not overwhelmed so that they can have lots of time, every bit of time that they need to make sure that they're giving effective arguments in court, if a person needs to be held in custody, to make sure that there's enough sheriffs to keep those courtrooms open, making sure there's enough judges. These are David Eby's responsibility. And even making sure that police have the resources that they need to ensure that they can collect all of the evidence that they need to turn over to Crown to make sure that our justice system is firing on all cylinders. And, you know, frankly, it is not.
Yeah, this is one of the things that occurred to me because I've just been looking at the reforms to the federal bail system that were brought in January. And it's supposed to keep these violent repeat offenders locked up if they've had offenses with weapons, including firearms, knives, bear spray. And as you mentioned, we've seen several examples where this didn't happen. Is this a case of, like, the judges are not following these guidelines? The Crown is asking for these people to be kept locked up, and these judges let them out anyway? Is that what's going on?
Well, this is another one of David Eby's failures. Clearly, when this started happening shortly after January 4th, when this came into effect and these incidents continued to happen over and over, you would think that they would have looked at this. They would have started dissecting these cases to find out, hey, let's do a review. Why is this happening? And in fact, if you remember, so in 2022, this was an NDP government that was absolutely adamant that there was no issue with prolific offenders, with violent repeat offenders, and they didn't want to go to Ottawa. It was only after being absolutely shamed into it by UBCM mayors and the opposition that they finally went over to Ottawa. They also put a directive to Crown Council here in British Columbia to say that they should be asking for violent repeat offenders to be held in custody. And yet, their own review of that data showed that that wasn't happening either, that they've only been asking half the time for those people to be held in custody, even in the worst circumstances where they have at least one charge of a violent crime, at least one warrant, and at least one breach. And of those arguments, they were losing almost half of those arguments. So is it that they don't have enough resources at the BC Prosecution Service? Surely with the data and with the high profile cases that have made it to the media, this would have been enough to trigger a responsible government to review and to find out what's happening. It's not good enough to point the finger at Justin Trudeau and the federal government when there's so much happening here in your own backyard. It's just a case of shifting the blame.
Okay, so Eleanor, what I guess we can talk about what EB should do. We've got an election here in October. Your party's running in a close second place in the polls here. What would a BC Conservative government do about this?
Well, these common sense things that I've just mentioned, which is first and foremost digging down into these cases and analyzing where did it go wrong? Why was it that a person was released? What was the argument? Was there services that should have been provided and could have been provided to this person to also help to mitigate the risk? Would there be things that could help if people are released into the community to keep the public safe? And in circumstances where people ought to have been kept in custody, why was it that they weren't? You direct your resources towards those areas. But also, look, I've already been talking with the Association of BC Prosecutors. They are underfunded because they don't have enough prosecutors. They're having a hard time recruiting people. It's a very competitive market. It's an expensive place for people to live. They simply are very overburdened. And we would definitely be looking at making sure that they have the resources they need to make our justice system fire on all cylinders.
Thank you for coming on today.
Mike, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.